Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
We ask a lot about this because of the significance that land represents in the financial picture and the overall asset base of the farm sector. Many of our contacts expect land values to continue to increase further in 2022, given the momentum that we've seen. But at the same time, many of these contacts also do feel that land values may be overvalued.
Nathan Kaufman is the head of the Omaha branch of the Kansas City Federal Reserve. He was featured recently at USDA's Agricultural Outlook Forum.
And this is important because that would suggest that whereas there might be some momentum right now, there's perhaps a view that some of the risks that had existed prior to the pandemic may still be relevant going forward.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The hearing of the Subcommittee on Commodity Exchanges, Energy, and Credit, entitled A 2022 Review of the Farm Bill, Rural Development, will come to order.
Minnesota Representative Angie Craig chairing a subcommittee hearing on rural development.
Today's hearing with USDA's Undersecretary for Rural Development, Sochi Torres-Small, is an important opportunity for members of this subcommittee to evaluate the effectiveness of rural development programs and the implementation of the 2018 Farm Bill. First of all, I'd like to welcome Undersecretary Torres-Small back to the Agriculture Committee. I think I speak for all of my colleagues when I say your presence on this committee is missed, but we are grateful for your continued public service in your new role. One of my goals for today's hearing is to highlight the strength of rural communities across America and to dig deeper on rural communities like those in Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District. We can take advantage of opportunities that Congress has provided in the 2018 Farm Bill and subsequent legislation. One aspect of today's discussion and an integral part of the work of the rural development team at USDA is that Americans should be able to choose where they want to live without having to make concessions on access to fast and reliable broadband internet, clean water, and affordable health care. Additionally, we must work to ensure that those diverse communities have the tools to thrive in a 21st century economy. Part of achieving that goal is to strengthen the reliance of local supply chains so that they can better support the distribution of commodities in a diverse economy where residents have access to tools that will support their learning and success. Another part of that goal is continuing to invest in renewable energy found across rural America. Ultimately, rural America knows best how to invest in their communities. In this subcommittee over the past year, we have heard from rural stakeholders and residents about the problems they encounter and the resources they need most. Undersecretary Torres-Small, thank you for accepting our invitation to speak before us today as we conduct important oversight work in preparation for the 2023 Farm Bill.
The ranking member, also from Minnesota, Michelle Fishbach.
Through the 2018 Farm Bill, this committee made important improvements to USDA rural development programs to meet the health, communications, infrastructure, and economic development needs of rural Minnesota. We provided new and expanded authorities to help address the opioid crisis and the loss of rural health facilities, expand access to clean water and high-speed internet service, rebuild essential community facilities, strengthen rural employers and employees, and promote regional economic development. These pieces are critical components for building what I call strong rural communities. I am anxious to hear about the department's work implementing these programs and what additional resources or authorities are needed to enhance the rural development toolkit. I am particularly interested in hearing how deployment of rural broadband is going and the role the USDA plays. Last summer, we worked together to craft a bipartisan broadband bill, blending ideas from the ranking member Thompson's Broadband for Rural America Act with proposals from Chairman Scott and Chairman Delgado to develop the Broadband Internet Connections for Rural America Act. This legislation passed our committee unanimously in a clear display of just how robust broadband connectivity is to our committee and the Americans we represent.
It's Agriculture Today.
When your field calls for the perfect type of tough, go all in on FiberMax Cotton to deliver the right seed for whatever you're up against. Like the FiberMax 2398 GLTP variety. Strong as an ox, fights like a bull. Built to buck stress, boost yield quality, and stand strong when that verticillium wilt comes creeping. Whether you're looking for that type of tough or another, you can find it at FiberMax.com. FiberMax Cotton Seed from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
Today's hearing is a timely as NOG is also evaluating the effectiveness of the Farm Safety Net. These programs and how the U.S. Department of Agriculture administers them can be improved going into the next Farm Bill.
Nicole Berg is a grower from Washington. She's also vice president of the National Association of Wheat Growers, testifying recently before the House Ag Committee.
NOG intends to outline our Farm Bill priorities in the coming months as Congress begins debating Farm Bill reauthorization. Wheat is one of the principal food grain produced in the United States and consumed around the world. Nationwide, there are six different classes of wheat grown in different climates and for different uses. In my state of Washington, there are roughly 2,500 wheat growers. The eastern part of the state is known for the home of soft white wheat. Wheat farmers across the country have experienced multiple challenges over the past couple of years, from trade disputes, impacts from COVID-19, current supply chain issues, difficulty in procuring inputs, and extreme drought and several other weather events. Supply chain issues and availability of inputs continue to be present challenges for us farmers. These challenges include rising prices and availability of fuel, parts, vital equipment, and other crop protection tools that allow farmers to continue using climate-smart ag practices like no-till. The current agricultural commodity is strong with near record high prices, improving working capital, farmland value, farm income, and revenue. However, this is not without concern. The USDA projects net farm income to decrease by 7.9% when adjusted for inflation in 2022, thanks to rising input costs, supply chain crunches, and significant droughts through wheat country that negate the high wheat prices. The high prices of these last 2 years will not last forever. It's important that Congress maintains a strong safety net for the farm economy, given its cyclical nature. As part of the 2018 Farm Bill, wheat growers supported improvements in crop insurance title, marketing assistant loans, and the Arkin PLC. And all of these programs are necessary to maintain an effective safety net. One such improvement for Arkin PLC was the ability for farmers to make annual elections between the two programs. This was provided a valuable option for farmers to better manage their risk. According to data from the USDA, since the 2018 Farm Bill, we have seen a major shift in wheat farmers' choices from ARC to PLC. Regarding service, the ability to re-elect and the application process is straightforward and has been easy to use. On farmer education, the USDA and university extension agencies have done a good job providing tools to help farmers make an educated choice on the program election. Investment in these models is essential. One common complaint among farmers is the difficulty of using and interpreting models and the lack of awareness of their existence. In my situation, we find it challenging to interpret the models, what it's telling us to do, so we have accountants that run models for us. While wheat farmers almost universally enroll in PLC, there are still issues that persist with the program that the committee should consider in the next Farm Bill. Wheat farmers consistently lose money producing wheat according to USDA cost of production data when factoring in total cost. Keeping this in mind, the committee should consider how to make ARC more effective for the wheat farmers and how to improve PLC to be more reflective of current cost of production.
Washington wheat grower Nicole Berg. And this is Agriculture Today.
Like West Texas weather, times can change in an instant, but one thing remains the same. Agriculture will continue to be an indispensable part of our daily lives. South Plains Implement has been your deeply rooted and stable provider of John Deere equipment, parts, and service throughout West Texas and New Mexico for the past 40 years, and we aren't going anywhere. To become a member of our team, visit our careers page, southplainsimplement.com. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
One of the directors of feedlot operations here at Freona Industries, it's important for us to be partner with people that understand the business and understand the challenges we face. And as we've grown from 4 to 6 to 8 yards, Capital Farm Credit has been there every step of the way. They understand the agriculture industry, understand the ebbs and flows, the trends, the economics, but more importantly, understand the cattle feeding sector and have been extremely good partners for us to work with. And hopefully that partnership gets to solidify even more.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We're the only agency in the federal government with a specifically rural mission. And one of the keys to our success is the staff's commitment to that mission. Our team lives and breathes it. That's why when offices are understaffed or decades-old technology systems take extra time that could allow them to instead, that could otherwise be used to reach people in rural places, it can take a toll on them. It can wear down staff morale, reduce quality of customer service, and could erode hard-won relationships with rural partners.
A former member of the House Ag Committee and now the Undersecretary for Rural Development, Xochi Torres-Small, testified before a House Ag subcommittee.
We're going to need to keep those relationships strong to take on the challenges of the future, like supporting innovations in our food system and partnering with farmers and ranchers, investing in energy efficiency, renewable energy systems, and higher blend biofuels infrastructure, and being there to help people across rural America turn their vision for their home and their kids into a reality in the places that they love. Amidst the tremendous challenges of our time, I see hope and opportunity in rural America. I see businesses eager to build new markets, farmers forging climate-smart solutions, and people who've been left behind open to building new relationships. If we take our cue from them, I'm confident we'll do our job right.
And she faced questions from the chair of the subcommittee, Angie Craig from Minnesota.
First, on strengthening local and regional supply chains, I would love to address local and regional meat processing as a key part of resilient rural economies. Madam Undersecretary, you mentioned the $1 billion investment that USDA is making via a food supply chain guaranteed loan program made possible by the American Rescue Plan funds. That's in addition to $500 million for meat and poultry processing announced in July of 2021. How will USDA ensure that these programs help existing processing facilities scale up their operations via staffing and infrastructure investments? And how does USDA see these programs as complementary and not overlapping?
Thank you so much, Chairwoman Craig. This is a crucial issue, of course, for farmers and ranchers who, in the midst of COVID-19, were trying to find some place to process their product and had no options. They had people who wanted their beef, but were going to have to wait a year before there was a chance there was room in the slaughterhouse. So we're trying to address this on the ground by expanding options and building out the middle to make that investment. So right now we have the Food Supply Chain Guaranteed Loan Program that is helped identify potential projects as well as lenders who might be eager to work with us on this issue. We've also announced MPEP, which is really building out that middle, identifying middle market projects that are very close to completion. How can we support that last step of investment to get them online and operating, expanding the number of hooks available? And we're also eager to take on new projects, identifying where there's others that are more in the formation piece and how we can work with local lenders to potentially support additional projects in the future. So I look forward to working with you on that and certainly want to recognize that what we're looking at now is how we expand the existing services so that people have options, so that farmers have options, as do the people in the supermarket.
It's Agriculture Today.
When your field calls for the perfect type of tough, go all in on FiberMax Cotton to deliver the right seed for whatever you're up against. Like the FiberMax 1621 GL variety. Strong as an ox, fights like a bull. Built to buck stress, boost yield quality, and muscle up when bacterial blight throws down. Whether you're looking for that type of tough or another, you can find it at FiberMax.com. FiberMax Cotton Seed from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
AquaYield Regional Agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burn down.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burn down herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at aquayield.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Supply chain has really been it's a major problem. And when we look at probably just to get this year done, we've got supply chain problems on the chemical side.
West Texas producer Wesley Spurlock.
As to where, if we will get these chemicals in, and will they be here timely enough, or are we going to be short? Because a lot of the farm chemicals, the insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, their prices have exploded also and gone up dramatically. And then once you get them, if you're going to export with the foreign ownership of these ships and these containers, they're leaving the U.S. empty. So we're not getting to put the as much cotton in them, or corn, or the grain sorghum going out. It's the food, all the food values that leave and go in containers. They're leaving without this. So that creates a major problem like what you're talking about is on the marketing side of it. How do we get some of these specialty crops out of the U.S. and get them where they need to be when we don't have control of the container or the shipping of the containers?
A diversified producer from the Texas Panhandle, Spurlock has also served as a grower leader for Commodity Classic.
The start of Classic is going to be really nice because we had it in San Antonio 2 years ago. Then COVID came in and we were not able to even have. So there wasn't even a Classic last year. It really was strange not to go to Classic and see all of the people that you know from these different areas and all these commodity groups and the leadership of them and being with them. So for this year to be able to come to New Orleans and be able to sit down and visit with these people face to face again and see their smiles and their get their knowledge and their bull on both sides. But it's to be here in person is just, it's really a wonderful deal to get back because we're all more gregarious than we think. And to be alone and out of those farms is not, you need everybody else to kind of help you get through the tough times. And so with all of these different people here, you hear lots of stories, and Classic looks like it's going to be a big and good one and healthy. So we've got lots of stuff. The trade show will open, I think, Thursday. And so right now I just came out of the state caucuses where you're working on the politics and policy problems that each of the states have. So every state has their own caucus to kind of work through it, which they'll take some of that information to, on ours, it goes to Corn Congress, and we'll have that meeting, and we'll start that tomorrow morning and have a half a day of Corn Congress and then start the next level of business. But Classic is really a neat event to go to. And if you haven't ever been to it, it's one to put on your bucket list, you might say. And you need to come, and once you do go once, you will go, you'll come back to them as they have the next year. It's in Orlando. So, but in New Orleans this year, we'll enjoy it and work with it. And it's a great place to be.
West Texas corn grower Wesley Spurlock. It's Agriculture Today
On the phone with Joe Guzman, National Sales Manager with Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, planting season right around the corner.
Sure, Stephen. As the year begins drier than we expected, keep in mind that sesame is very drought hardy and has a low cost to raise. Our grain handlers are buying Equinom Smarter Sesame in the range of $22 to $24 a bushel, which competes well with other crops in our area. Also, sesame can be an insurable crop in most areas. It should be added to your policy by the 15th of March.
Joe, if somebody wants more information.
Sure, they can reach me at 1-833-SESAME. Or Equinom.com.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
This is Agriculture Today.
And what a blessing to see an Agriculture Committee alumni in the Rural Development Office, someone who truly understands rural America and the challenges our constituents face. Yeah, it's great to see you back in the committee room, Undersecretary.
Ranking Member House Ag Committee G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania referring to Xochitl Torres-Small, Undersecretary for Rural Development.
I recently read a very staggering statistic that I would like to share with you all. And according to the Federal Communication Commission's 2021 broadband report, more than 500,000 Pennsylvanians are without access to broadband connectivity. In fact, Pennsylvanians living in rural areas are 11% more less likely than their urban and suburban counterparts to have internet service at home. Now, this very statement is proof of the ongoing digital divide. In the 2018 Farm Bill, we, as a committee, enacted provisions tackling rural and regional broadband development and deployment issues across the nation while prioritizing resources to the most remote and least connected residents who are also often the most expensive to connect. Now, we must continue to look for ways to bring rural America into the 21st century. And I know this is an issue that you're passionate about, Undersecretary. Agriculture Committee Republicans are ready and eager to work with you on improvements to the rural development mission area. But we cannot do that without willing partnership and proactive engagement from you and the rest of the Department of Agriculture. Our partnership falters when the department acts unilaterally and ignores the concerns of members of this committee or fails just to engage the committee in the development of the work that they're doing and only seeks our or seeks our counsel or input when new authority or funding is needed. Now, we share the responsibility for governing and addressing the needs of rural America, and we can only meet that obligation if we work together. Historically, I'm very proud of the fact that the House Ag Committee is one of the most, the most bipartisan committees in Congress. Our dais is ringed with an impressive, dedicated group of members who are committed to rural America, just like everyone at USDA is. Now, I hold out hope that we can develop a fruitful, consistent partnership with USDA that best serves our rural communities. You might be surprised about what we can accomplish when we work together.
Again, the Undersecretary for Rural Development, formerly a representative from New Mexico, had her opening statement.
Last week, I was in the Black Belt, and I saw firsthand the wastewater crisis that Americans there have been experiencing for decades. And when you don't have good wastewater, you may also be drinking dirty water because of contaminated wells. Rural Development has been working on this for some time, and specifically trying to get folks to sign up for drinking water systems so that we can continue the operations and maintenance necessary to do that work. So that means getting people to sign up for these systems, getting them to trust a government that has all too often let them down. And so one Rural Development employee decided to go door to door in rural Alabama, talking with constituents, trying to get them to sign up for this program. And one woman almost threw him out. She said, "I've been drinking this water from this well my entire life. Government hasn't helped me yet. Why should I think that they'll help me now?" He sat down with her and convinced her to let him test her water. And when the test results came back, the person testing asked if the sample had come from a septic tank because there was that much bacteria in the water. She now has clean water. She signed up for the service, and that's a success story. But it also shows how much time it can take with just one person to rebuild that trust. And so I want to thank you for the time that you put in to listening to and representing your constituents, to the thoughtful investments that you make in rural development so that we can continue to do this work together. I recognize that call to service, and I am deeply grateful to get to work with you.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Soybean growers need a supportive farm safety net when markets fail or when significant economic disruptions occur.
Brad Doyle is a soybean producer from Arkansas, president, American Soybean Association.
Based on farmer feedback we have received, it is clear that improvements are needed to make the Title I safety net effective for soybean farmers. Since early 2022, ASA has held 12 virtual farm bill listening sessions, both by region and by topic, with interested soybean farmers across soy's 30 primary growing states. An in-depth farm bill survey was also administered to soybean growers in late 2021. Through these listening sessions and the survey, soybean farmers consistently share the soybean reference price is insufficient. If there were ever a time that the farm safety net was designed for, it was during the China trade war in 2018 and 2019. China is a significant importer of soybeans, importing almost one in three rows of soybeans produced in the U.S. During the height of the China trade war in 2018, U.S. soy stopped flowing into the market during the peak export period that fall. Soybean prices fell about 20%, but soybean producers received no PLC payments and little from ARC under the Title I safety net. The reference price for determining Title I benefits was set at such a low level that PLC payments never were triggered. In fact, 2005 is the last time a PLC or CCP payment, the predecessor program, was triggered for soybeans. If soybeans, the second largest crop planted by area in the U.S., did not get help from Title I during this critical situation, it is hard to imagine a scenario where Title I safety net could provide meaningful help with the current reference price. Through ASA's listening sessions and survey, soybean farmers also consistently share concern that soybean farmers have a low level of base acres compared to planted acres. ARC and PLC payments benefits are provided on base acres, not planted acres. In 2021, soybeans were planted over 87 million acres in the U.S. By comparison, soybean base total acres are 52.5 million acres. So 34.5 million acres of soybean acres were not protected by the soybean provisions of ARC and PLC in 2021. Farmers share these scenarios throughout our listening sessions to describe these concerns. One, a young beginning farmer who is only 10% base on his or her farm provided little access to the ARC and PLC farm safety net. Two, greater adoption of no-till conservation practices has enabled farmers to cultivate crops in new areas that have no base. Three, small farmers who have transitioned out of tobacco production and have no crop base. Four, farmers have exited the dairy business and have moved into production of other crops with no base acres. And lastly, farmers have lost cropland to residential and industrial development and sought other areas to cultivate. When our survey respondents were provided options to improve the Title I farm safety net for soybeans, the leading two selections were to increase the soybean reference price for calculating ARC and PLC and to provide an option to update base acres. Importantly, farmer feedback also suggests that a combination of remedies to address these deficiencies are needed.
It's Agriculture Today.
For years, cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. NextGen brand cottonseed from America. You can depend on NextGen varieties for performance and yields year after year. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Oh, and one other thing. Americot is now offering cotton seed treatments to protect your seed investment against your early season challenges. To find out more, contact your local NextGen representative or seed dealer today. Americot. All we do is cotton. All the time.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The heart of planting season for spring crops is weeks away, yet growers are concerned about growing drought. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey points out regarding drought coverage.
We've seen substantial increases in recent weeks. Corn in drought, production area in drought, was as low as 17% last growing season, but that number has since doubled to 34%. We've seen almost a doubling of the soybean production area in drought. 13% was the low during the growing season last year. Current number is 25%.
He adds that concern will only increase if trends continue over the next couple of months. Similarly, for the nation's cotton crop.
Virtually free of drought last summer, last growing season, only 4% of the U.S. cotton production area was considered to be in drought. But the current number there is 53%. Not a concern yet, but something to watch as we move into and through the 2022 growing season.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.